This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello and welcome to the preview show. Joining me this week to look ahead to the action this weekend are Sky Sports pundit Keith Andrews and Leyton Orient captain Joby McAnuff. Keith, welcome to the podcast. First of all, making your debut. The first match we're going to look at is the small matter of Leeds v Derby. No pressure there then. Focusing on Leeds, first of all, despite their start to the season, how much will that playoff semi-final still be in their minds, that defeat?
I'm not sure. You know, we've both been in playoffs, myself and Joby, and you kind of, the season after, you want to just get going as soon as possible if it hasn't ended well. So when I was looking at Leeds' first few games of the season, you're looking at the home form, you're looking at how they reacted. And I have to say, I think they've reacted very, very well. When you look at the tweaks that they've made to the playing staff, decent players coming in. And it's a different type of derby this time around, of course. I think there'd be a little bit more on it if Frank Lampard was still in charge with the same type of personnel. But they've moved on as well. They've gone in a different direction. Of course, there's going to be that chat around it come Saturday lunchtime. But I think the way they've reacted, no, I don't think it'll be a... It won't be any type of hangover from the second leg of the playoff.
Joby, you've experienced defeat in the playoffs, of course. How difficult is it, though, to get over that the following season? And how impressed have you been with Leeds for the way that they've done that so far?
Yeah, incredibly impressed. It can be difficult, you know, as Keith mentioned, you know, when you've gone so close the year before, you've put a lot of hard work into it. You know, the whole summer can be difficult. You look at the fixtures coming out, who you could be playing, you know, watching the other teams and where you could be. So in my experience, it always led to a little bit of a hangover, you know, the following season and a little bit of a slow start. So, you know, I think with all that in mind, you know, it shows how good Leeds have started this year. And I think keeping Bielsa was really massive in that. You know, they obviously got a manager who they know well and, you know, they haven't had to change too much in that respect. So, you know, I think that's really been a big help for them, you know, starting this season.
Yeah, Keith, that playoff defeat, obviously, like you said, hasn't really affected Leeds, seeming to watch on so far. Again, similar question, how impressed have you been in the way that they've bounced back? Because, you know, for people who were there that night and, you know, even watching on TV, it was a traumatic defeat for them, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then obviously you're wondering, is he going to stay? And the days after that game, there was a lot of talk that he was going to leave. And I think there was very frank discussions between Marcelo Bielsa and the hierarchy at Leeds. And thankfully for Leeds' perspective and the Championship's perspective, he's still here. He's still with us, thankfully. They've moved on really well. And how I think they've moved on is that he's had 12 months plus to work with these players, the vast majority of them. So they know his methods. You know, he drilled them really, really hard at the beginning of last season and in pre-season. And when you look at the loan signings in particular, I just think they are a massive upgrade on what they did last year in the transfer market. Last year, Izzy Brown came with an injury, didn't really impact it, couldn't get right. Blackman, the goalkeeper, wasn't really featuring. Lewis Baker, at the start of the season, was in and around it. When you contrast that to what they've got this time around, Ben White, Helder Costa, and Nketiah, and Jack Clark, who's had limited minutes so far, I just think that's a massive upgrade on the players that are already in the building. Of course, they've lost Kemar Roofe, who I think is a massive loss, but Nketiah is a fine replacement.
Yeah, we'll get on to some of those signings a bit later on. Joby, being back at the top of the league as well for Leeds, coming back last weekend with that win against Barnsley. Big name players signing new deals. Seems to be an air of confidence around the club, doesn't there, as a whole at the minute. How important is it that things are going right on the pitch and off it as well?
Oh, it's massively important, especially when you're talking about Leeds, where, you know, over the past sort of 4, 5, 6 years and probably beyond that, they haven't had that stability, you know, around the whole club, whether it be managers coming and going, you know, ownership issues. So I think it's a real good sign when you see the likes of, you know, Liam Cooper, Shepard Dallas, Calvin Phillips, of course, he's had plenty of interest, you know, signing new contracts, and not just new contracts, but real long-term ones. I think, you know, they've made a real big statement with some of those, you know, re-signing. And for me, it shows the harmony at the club. You know, you talk about some of the players and what they've mentioned, how they feel there's a connection from, you know, the top to the bottom. And for me, you know, that's how you get success at football clubs. Everybody being on the same page, you know, buying into the same ideas and the same ways of doing things. And As I say, I'm really expecting Leeds to push on this year and finally get that promotion.
Yeah, Keith, I keep asking this question on the podcast, but it's one which Leeds fans, of course, keep asking as well. But should Leeds now be starting Eddie Nketiah and Helder Costa? You know, two of those loan signings, as you mentioned, both came in against Barnsley last weekend and really made the difference.
Yeah, I touched on the work that he does on the training ground, Bielsa, and last year, how much he drilled the players. And it's a common occurrence when new signings come into the football club. They do take a period of time to settle in and to get into the groove of exactly what he's after. And I think that's exactly what's happening on this front. I think it's really good that they've got that impact from the bench with two outstanding players. And I think the longer it goes, when they keep knocking on the door and they keep having massive impact from the bench, which they have had. And I think it's something that Leeds probably lacked a little bit last year. I was quite critical of the size and the depth of the squad, but that's his prerogative. That's the way he wants to go with this. He doesn't want a massive squad to have to try and keep 20, 22 players happy. He has a core of 16, 18 players. And of course, at times, you run the risk of suspensions and injuries, leaving yourself a little bit short. But in the early weeks of this season, he's got an abundance of talent in that match day squad that he's able to juggle it around. And I've no doubt the both of them will gatecrash the starting lineup at some stage. But whether that'll be in the coming weeks or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Joby, which one of the two would you have in that team, though? And who would you drop to replace him? Because like Keith says there, a lot of strength and depth in that team.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I think at this moment in time, I'd be really happy with the lads that are playing. Of course, you know, Eddie Nketiah and Helder Costa are making massive impact, you know, with their substitute appearances. But from a manager or coach's point of view, you want that. You know, if the 11 have gone out there and done pretty well for the majority of the game and the majority of the matches, of course, you know, for Leeds to be where they are in the season so far, you need that impact coming off the bench. And obviously at the moment, those guys are providing it. You know, echoing what Keith said, the longer that goes on, the more Nketiah keeps coming on and scoring goals. And maybe, you know, if Bamford dries up a little bit, that might be one that you kind of look to do. You know, he normally would bring on Helder Costa for Harrison. So I think at the moment, I'd be very reluctant to change it. You know, they're winning games, you know, they're top of the table. And for me, I wouldn't quite rock the boat just yet.
Interesting call. Keith, looking at Derby now, though, a lot's been made about their poor start to the season, of course. But like we talked about earlier, did they have to draw inspiration from that playoff result at Elland Road?
Yeah, I think sometimes when you go back to a ground where you've had a big night, a big performance result, and that was obviously the case for Derby and that magnificent win they got over Leeds to get them to Wembley. But going back to what I touched on earlier, it's a different set of staff, players to a degree. You know, it's not the same group going, arriving like they did last year. But some of them obviously will tap into that. I just look at them, Ben, to be honest, and I just see a void of real quality and spark. And I touch on the lone players in terms of Leeds and what they've got. When you look at what Derby had last year with Mason Mount, Harry Wilson and Tomori, you know, two of those were playing Champions League football a couple of nights ago. And you've got Harry Wilson, who's doing very, very well at Bournemouth. That's the level of player that Derby are missing now. I like what he's trying to do, Philip Cocu, but I think there needs to be a level of patience with the hierarchy there to let him see this through, because they are lacking a little bit in certain areas. But I do like what he's trying to do.
Yeah, a lot of quality players, like you say, coming out of that side from that playoff game, rather. Joby, but one of the players that remains there who came on as a sub in that playoff game, it really made the difference, was Jack Marriott. Does Philip Cocu have to start him now, considering the problems he caused Leeds?
I would say give him a go. Yeah, I think players have got that feel. It's the same with teams. You know, you go somewhere, you've had good results as a team, but also as a player, you feel, you know, if you've had a good night in particular, especially so recently, and especially such a big night, you know, getting two goals there at Elland Road, you know, they're the little things that can make a manager, you know, make that decision to start someone or not, you know. And I think where they have struggled this year, he'll be looking at players that have been there and done a good job. So for me, that would be certainly one I'll be looking at to try and go and prove some problems for the Leeds defence.
Yeah, Keith, coming back to that poor start for Derby, though, only a win on the opening day against Huddersfield in the league, a lot of draws. Did it have to change things up in this match a little bit, maybe do something like Forest and Swansea did and try and frustrate Leeds?
Yeah, I think you've got to look at what you've got at your disposal, the type of personnel they have. What will they do? Will they match it physically? Will they go toe-to-toe with Leeds? I'm not so sure. I think they're lacking, again, in certain areas. No more so right back. I feel a little bit for Max Lowe because it's not his natural position. I think Bogle is a huge loss. Can they sit in? Can they hit on the counter-attack with the types of players like Dwayne Holmes and Tom Lawrence, Kieran Dell? I think that may be the way he has to go in this game. But in terms of the overall plan, the plan that he's trying to implement, you know, it's not a million miles away from what Frank Lampard was trying to do. It's just those key components taken out of the team. He's playing a very similar type of system. Okay, Bielik has come in alongside Huddleston, add a little bit more strength to the heart of midfield. But it's just not why Cormier there has been a striker, Jack Marriott, they've been alternating that a little bit. I think just a few of the players have struggled to really get going, and that's been the fine margins in a lot of those games.
Yeah, Joey, of course, there is an expected hostile atmosphere at Elland Road. As a visiting player, do you thrive on that, or is it daunting knowing that you're gonna face that?
No, I love it. You know, I think for me, the bigger the ground, you know, the more hostile the atmosphere, you know, they're the games you want to be involved in. You know, Elland Road, you know, whatever league you're talking about is, for me, still one of the best places to go and, you know, play a game, especially, you know, with a sold-out crowd and the way Leeds have started, you know, this year with the fans being right behind them. So, you know, I think, again, it goes back to your approach. You know, for me personally, I'd be going there trying to quieten down the crowd, you know, for the first 15, 20 minutes, work our way into the team, into the game, sorry, and, you know, try and then start impacting our way of playing on the game. But I'm not quite sure Derby have really got that mentality this year. You know, I hear Cocu after the game against Cardiff talking about how physical they were, and it's not his type of football. And for me, sometimes away from home, especially in them big stadiums, you need to have that where you just go and prepare to make it hard for the opposition. So for me, it would be a game I would look forward to. But I just feel at the moment it's not quite the right game for Derby.
Keith, Joby's touched on the point there, but in terms of the game, you're at the game. How do you think those Derby players will handle that atmosphere this time around? Different manager, a few different players, of course, as well.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, of course, because anybody that's been to Elland Road over the last 12 to 15 months is a scene and experience the atmosphere. And when it does get going, it's as good as I've experienced in a championship ground. I have to be honest, it's been hostile. It's been a proper game of football because they're relishing what they're seeing. So it takes character. It takes resilience as a team to have to weather that storm, because there will be a storm. There's no doubt in that, because the levels that they're producing on a weekly basis, let's be honest, certainly for large periods of games, can they match that? Can they stand up to that? Derby lost a lot of experienced players in the summer. They had to trim the wage bill. It was only right. But there's some younger, less experienced players coming into the equation. They're going to have to stand up on Saturday lunchtime.
Joby, final point on the game with you. How do you call it? I think you've touched on it there, that you're seeing that Derby might struggle in this one.
I do, yeah. I've got to be honest, I can't see anything other than a Leeds win. I think if they come out and play as they usually do with the intensity, I think they're just going to have a little bit too much for Derby this time around.
Yeah, certainly looks to be the match of the weekend on paper. Now moving on to our featured match from the 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Championship, which is Brentford taking on Stoke. Keith, looking at Brentford, first of all, a lot was made of them at the start of the season, being one of the dark horses, maybe. As we saw against Derby a few weeks back, on their day, they're fantastic. But in terms of results, certainly not the start that people would have expected. Should Thomas Frank be a little bit concerned?
Yeah, I think expectation levels have crept up kind of every year, haven't they, in the last, say, three seasons. They start off as the dark horses. Okay, can they get towards the playoffs? And I think the way most of us have been speaking about them in the off-season coming in, the type of business they did as soon as the Mopay kind of transfer saga developed, and then they got a few players in, they're still trying to find their feet, of course. But I think that's Brentford, and I think that's something they need to overcome. You know, you've touched on it there. They show what they're capable of against Derby. They can be absolutely scintillating and embarrass you, really, on one-off type appearances and performances. But it's those games in a nitty-gritty 46-game season that, when you're not playing so well, you still have to win games. That's the sign of a really good team that's developing as a team and been able to really mount a promotion challenge.
Yeah, Keith's touching it there, Joby, but we've seen the model at Brentford is to maybe buy up-and-coming players and improve the team, improve them, sell them for a profit and reinvest. What do you make of that model? Hell of a lot of responsibility on the scouting team, of course, to replace the likes of Morpé and Sawyers?
Yeah, it is. It's obviously a very analytical approach to scouting and recruitment. And it's worked in terms of financial side of things. When you look at, you know, what they've bought some players for and sold them for, you know, like Devondre Gray, £500,000, sold him for £9 million plus. Scott Hogan, another one, £100 million, sold him for over 12. And obviously Mopé was probably the last one of those. So yeah, from a strictly business point of view, it's obviously something that has gone well for them and has worked well. The guys that are recruiting there and the scouting department have done an absolutely fantastic job in identifying that talent, either from the lower leagues or abroad, and giving it a platform, which I think Brentford are really good at, you know, to go and play in an environment that they can go and thrive in. Where that leaves them in terms of getting promoted, for me, that little bit of inconsistency, as Keith touched on, you know, I think when you've got a young squad in general, that's where, as you say, those real tough games where you've got to grind out a result, that little bit of know-how that sometimes experienced players can bring to help you get through those situations, you know, I believe they've just been lacking, that just left them short. You know, they haven't been in the playoffs since, you know, the first year they came up now. So I think the league gets tougher and tougher each year. And for me, that little bit of experience is just where they need to really focus on to really make the difference of getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, Keith, one of the biggest signings, of course, which wouldn't have taken, you know, much scouting, we could see what he could have to offer, was Pontus Janssen. Come straight in as captain. Do you think they have to be careful with having a character like that in their team, though? You know, we've seen, you know, reports of the way he's left Leeds. Is that something that should be of concern?
Well, that type of signing, you know, Joe was just mentioning in terms of the scout and the recruitment, the way they go about it, that goes against the grain. That's one where I think that the manager's gone and said, okay, we need a certain type. We need a character. We need someone with huge presence, a leader. He was a cult hero at Leeds. There's no doubt about that. But I felt that stepped over the line on occasions with the way he made it more about him than the team. And I would look from the outside, looking in at him and as a specific case with the manager. I think you've got to manage him really, really well. You've got to keep him on side. He's given him the armband, which I think is clever, because it gives him that responsibility to play and lead in a certain way. And he's got to stick in with it with the manager. But in terms of the kind of the dynamic of him, I do think they need someone like him. And I think as long as he keeps his head straight, he could be a very, very good signing for them.
Yeah, certainly statistics-wise, he's an outstanding centre-back at championship level. Joby, like we mentioned, we saw how well, you know, Brentford played in that 3-0 win against Derby. Is that the frustrating thing for Thomas Frank, the fact that they haven't had a consistent run of results when they clearly, you know, they've got the talent in their team?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, you have a performance like that and a victory like that, and again, I think that expectation level just ramps up and everybody thinks that you're going to be doing it week in, week out. But, you know, it's very hard to maintain that level. And I think that's been so far, obviously, Brentford's biggest problem is just maintaining that level of performance, that consistency. They've shown they can beat anyone on their day. It's just doing it on a regular enough basis to get themselves up the table and be a real threat to that playoff team. So, you know, that would be the real aim now, and the real objective is just making sure they're doing it Saturday in what we all know is a real relentless league.
Yeah, Keith, focusing on Stoke now, another week without a win for Nathan Jones. Is he fighting a losing battle here, do you think?
Well, it's a very difficult battle. It's an uphill task. It's, you know, I don't know what everyone feels the same, but I was just waiting for it to happen, waiting for the results to kick in. He's someone who I had as a coach when I was at Brighton, and he was a very good coach. I loved working with him. But when you look at what he's did at Luton and the way he's tried to transform that into Stoke, I look at Stoke and I just think they're on such a downward spiral. The morale, the confidence, the habits of the football club have been that of a losing football club for many years now, because they were treading water in the Premier League for a couple of years before they actually got relegated. And I was in a similar situation when I signed at Bolton, who had just been relegated from the Premier League. And when I walked into that football club, I'd come from West Brom, where Roy Hodgson was the manager, meticulously run football club. And it was a stark contrast at Bolton. It really was. It just hit me straight in the face. And I can see this quite clearly at Stoke City, because when you're looking at some of the players and some of the signs, they are talented players. There's no doubt about that. but they're playing nowhere near the level of what they're capable of. And there has to be a reason for that. The confidence has shot to pieces.
Yeah, Joby, can Nathan Jones maybe turn things around, though, if given that little bit more time? I know it's hard to come by in football. Clearly got talent as a manager, though, like Keith mentions there, with what we saw at Luton.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I think he is fighting a losing battle. I think it's going to be very difficult for him to turn things around. It just seems as though they're in a situation where everything's going against them. I think, you know, the last result kind of sums up everything that's going wrong there. You know, they get a goal up really early, and then a few minutes later, Joe Allen gets sent off, an own goal in the second half. So they just seem devoid of any luck at the moment. And when you're down there, these things just every week, they seem to pile up, whether it be the own goals, someone getting sent off, you're not getting the rub of the green. And I think that's just feels like the whole environment now. You know, I think they've just fallen out of the habit of winning games, you know, 4 wins in 30 since he's been there. You know, no wins at home since I think it was March. And that can be a real tough place to go for, you know, if you're a home player and things aren't going well, that Stoke crowd can, you know, really start going against them. And I know if that hasn't really helped either. So a lot of pressure on everybody there. And, you know, in my opinion, I think it'd be a slightly too tall a task for him to turn it around.
Yeah, Keith, when you're stuck in a rut like Stoke clearly are, you talked about, you know, Bolton there and your experience. Is there anything a manager can do in those situations?
Yeah, well, obviously, like, it's been well documented, the amount of work that he's putting in to try and turn things around on the training grounds, analysis, all that type of areas of the game, which are obviously important. But I touched on it before, the confidence levels of the player, when I'm seeing them play, they are shadows of their former selves. And that's the environment. That's whether that's the same in training, I would be unsure. I think in training, it would be of a high level. But when they get into that environment of Saturday, 3 o'clock, home crowd, the expectations, the pressure of it, it just does not seem to be clicking. And when I look at the type of personnel they have, I'm not sure they're the type of squad that can just dig out a result. So it's obviously worrying times for Nathan Jones and Stoke City.
Yeah, Joby, even Lee Johnson came out last week and said Bristol City didn't deserve to beat Stoke. Does that sort of tell you that a win should be around the corner, or is it like a sign that a team just can't get it right?
Yeah, I think he's probably being quite polite there, Lee Johnson. I think, you know, he knows it's a difficult situation, doesn't want to rub salt in the wounds. It's the last thing you want to hear as a manager. You know, we didn't deserve to lose, or, you know, we should have won that game. And there's only so many times you can hear that, or you can say that, without actually getting the results, you know. And for me, it's just a little bit indicative of everything that's going on there. You know, you're coming out of games, you feel you should have got something in, you're just not getting them. So you're then really scratching your head at when a result is going to come around. And, you know, I think they're in a real, real tough spot down there.
Well, let's hope for Nathan Jones' sake that a win comes around sooner rather than later. Now moving on to the Sunday game, West Brom taking on Huddersfield. Keith, first of all, what did we learn from the game, the first game under the Cowleys last weekend against Sheffield Wednesday?
Well, I think the assumption was that they were going to come in with a magic wand, but they're going to need more than that, because there's problems at that football club, and there was a lot of talk about who would get it. I think he's a good appointment, I have to be honest. I think he's got charisma. He's got something about him. They've got something about them as a management pair that are able to come in and galvanise a group. And that's exactly what they're going to need to do, because a little bit like I've been speaking about the Stoke group, I look at some of the Huddersfield players. They've been on such an unbelievable journey over the last 2 to 3 years. Some of them are still there, of course. They're going to need to tap into that again and get it going, because at the moment, it's just not quite right. The levels of performance are nowhere near it. Some of the recruitments of the last 4 or 5 windows haven't been at a level where players are coming in really impacting it. Carlin Grant would be one of the exceptions. I liked what Fraser Campbell was doing, and he will only get better. But they are missing a spark, and they are going to have to go back to basics and start grinding out results to climb that table.
Yeah, Joby, does that first defeat, though, in a way sort of help them manage the expectations of the supporters, maybe? Like they said in the first press conference, the Cowleys, they're in a relegation battle now, aren't they?
Well, they are. I don't think any defeat ever helps in any situation, if I'm being honest. And I'm sure they would have gone into that hoping to get something positive, just to help with the buy-in from the lads. They've obviously got their way of doing things, their own ideas. As I say, I've had a bit of experience, you know, doing a bit of coaching alongside them, and they're very meticulous in what they want to do. And I think that will take a bit of time to get across to the players, their way of playing, and also their way of teaching as they see it. You know, they have a real different way of getting that information across to players, and you need the buy-in from the lads. So I think from their point of view, they need those results fairly quickly to really, as I say, get that buy-in from the lads and get everybody on the same page. So it was always going to be a difficult task. I think they'll do really well. I was very impressed with them as a pair, you know, in my time with them. I had a couple of weeks with them over the summer, and I feel they will get things right there. It's just about changing the mentality of the place. You know, they're on a real bad run of form, not just this year, you know, going back a while now, and it's about changing that mentality. But I think with a new management group, they can do that. You know, they can give the players a fresh platform to build from, you know, try and shake off everything that they've been through in the previous era and regime, and start looking at things afresh, really. So I think they'll get it right there. They just need a little bit of time to get their ideas across.
Yeah, Keith, I asked this last week, but I just want to get your take on it. What did you make of the appointment in general, especially after the way the Cowleys took the job? They initially turned it down, of course.
Yeah, and of course there was a little bit of reported interest from Sheffield Wednesday, and ironically that was their first game. From my understanding, it was the term of the agreement, and what I mean by that is initially it was a head coach role where they wouldn't have a huge say over signings. And I just touched on that before about I don't think the recruitment has been good enough over the last couple of years. I really don't. And they've spent some hefty fees on players from across Europe. So he's gone in as the manager. And I think that's important because he needs to run the football club as he sees fit. They've ran it in a certain way under the previous two managers. And of course, David Wagner had a remarkable spell, unlikely promotion and very unlikely consolidation in the Premier League on his first season. So I do think it needed to take a step in a different direction. Do I think he's a good appointment? Yeah, I do. I think it's going to suit all parties because I've been at that football club a lot in the last few seasons, even in the Premier League days when it wasn't going so well. And they've got an unbelievable core group of supporters that have stuck by them throughout it. And I just think he fits in very nicely with that.
Yeah, Joby, we see they're obviously a team that are massively low on confidence, though. How can they turn that around? Is it maybe just a bit of looking, you know, getting that first result?
Yeah, definitely. It'll come from, you know, definitely training, you know, getting the mood right, getting their ideas across, as I said, in their own way. You know, I've seen a little clip of them on one of their first couple of days in there. And, you know, you can just see from their attitude, they want to get that across to the players, you know, make it a fun environment, but one where, you know, hard work is also, you know, essential to getting those results. And for me, there's no secret behind it. You know, it is that work rate, you know, making sure everybody's going in the same direction, and that can become really, really powerful. So, you know, I know from their way of doing things, they want to try and create that luck. You know, it doesn't just happen. You have to get the ball into areas, you know, where you might get it dropping down, then also runners onto the ball, you know, making sure you're getting blocks, you know, defending properly, and getting that rubber to green. You know, you have to make that turn yourself, and I'm sure the way they go about things, you know, that will come around pretty quickly.
Yeah, Keith, West Brom, on the other hand, they continued that unbeaten start with that draw against Fulham last week. How impressed have you been with them being able to grind out results when they're, you know, when their backs are up against the wall like they were at Craven Cottage?
Yeah, it's staggering to think the times they've gone down and dug in. And last week was a prime example of that, probably even more so because they were the second best in every department, I would suggest, for best part of an hour. Fulham were magnificent in how they played the game with more energy and more dynamism, certainly in midfield. But you would have to say they reacted really well to that West Brom. And where I see West Brom is that they're very much work in progress. There was only three players started that game against Fulham that started the second leg semi-final of the playoff against Aston Villa. So that just tells you the turnover of players that they've had in the summer, and obviously a new manager. And I think at times we underestimate how difficult that is to get it going. You know, you've got to look at Charlie Austin. Got better as the game went on. but has had a disrupted preseason. He's not quite match sharp, and the types of players like Pereira, who he's brought in, Romain Sawyers, Dianguena, they've got exciting players that will only get better as the season goes on. So I think early stages have been encouraging, but I still think there's a long way to go with this team. I think they're capable of a lot more.
Yeah, Joby, you mentioned last week, though, that they concede the first goal a bit too much in games. Will that catch up on them at some point, do you believe? Or like Keith, do you think they might grow into the season a bit more?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was just really interesting to see that, you know, how many times they have conceded the first goal. And then also to see how what they've actually done and the points they've accumulated having done so. I just think in the longer term, you know, for me, if they can get that corrected, they can be a real threat, you know, moving forward. You know, they're only 3 points off the top at the moment. And I think that could be the difference between them mounting a real serious challenge for automatic promotion and then maybe, you know, just falling short and being in and around the playoffs. But, you know, I'm sure they'll be delighted with that start. And if they can just address that and stop conceding first, I think against some of the better teams, it's just more difficult to get yourself back in the game when you're chasing it. And I think, you know, that makes their form so impressive, I suppose, where you really factor that in and they've had to come from behind a lot. So, you know, for me, you know, they'd be really happy where they are. And they'll be looking to mount a serious challenge this year.
Yeah, Keith, how important is it, though, that they start to win those games, especially the big games, if we're going to start, you know, considering them as automatic promotion contenders?
Yeah, but I think that starts what Joby's just touched on. It's the first goal. They can't keep replicating that. I think it shows really good qualities to be able to come back and dig in and show that character. And he makes the brave decisions in terms of the substitutions. That really impresses me. But you're giving yourself such a difficult starting point to have to come back from that. So, look, I'm confident in what they're doing and how they're going about it. I like the way he talks about the game. I like him on the sideline. I think he's galvanised the group. I think he has them really united. So I haven't got too many worries and concerns about them just yet. But obviously, the wins need to come more frequently if they are going to mount that automatic promotion challenge.
But for Huddersfield, 16 away games without a win for them. So hard to imagine maybe getting something out of this one. Now moving on to our featured game in League One, and Joby, Wickham taking on Portsmouth. The table seems like it's upside down with Wickham in third and Pompey down in 18th. Let's focus on the positive side of it first of all. What is it about this Wickham team that has been so successful this season? Is it that underdog mentality maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I know Gareth Ainsworth pretty well. I was actually a young pro coming up through the ranks when he was at the first team at Wimbledon, and I think as a manager, he's instilled all those qualities he's had as a player, you know, the hard work, you know, just really giving everything possible you can when you're on that football pitch. I think his team really, you know, show that those same characteristics, really. And I think having come so close last year and being in a real tight predicament and just about surviving last year, you know, it can have the opposite effect, you know, in terms of coming in and the lad saying, look, don't want to be in that situation again. And obviously it's worked for them at the start of this year. You know, they've had a brilliant start and certainly a surprise package, you know, this early on in the season.
Yeah, Keith, we've seen Gareth Ainsworth being linked with a move away from the club now, though, and there has been a little bit of a wobble for them. There was the top of the table a few games ago. Is that something which you believe could have distracted him and the squad just a little bit?
I think it's a slight distraction, but I think it's probably a just a reflection on the good work that he's doing. He's been at the club for so long now, nearly 7 years. And you, from the outside looking in, you think, how much more can he do with that club, with the finances that they have at their disposal? Lincoln have obviously been the ones that have been mentioned and talks have been had by all accounts. So Lincoln, in terms of their ambition, in terms of the size of the club compared to a Wigan, he wants to manage as high up as he can, Gareth Ainsworth. And if he feels that is the right move, then he has to take it. But in terms of what he's achieved with this set of players, especially after what happened last season, it's staggering. And I think it's an aspect of the game that the average fan and punter out there doesn't really appreciate too much in terms of what he is actually paying his players and staff and their overall budget compared to a lot of teams in that division. He is by far and away batting well above where he should be.
Yeah, Portsmouth, though, obviously came into the season as one of the favourites for promotion, Joby. So far, they've not really delivered, only one win in six games. What's gone wrong there?
Well, as we've touched on with some of the previous clubs we spoke about in terms of not getting promoted, you know, after getting into the playoffs. And me, it's that, you know, it's a real hangover type mentality to start the season. Obviously, they've lost a couple of, you know, real key players, you know, standout performers for them, you know, likes of Jamal Lowe, which was quite a protracted kind of transfer, really. And I don't think that's really helped in terms of, you know, where they are. I think they've lost, let's say, some real quality and probably haven't quite replaced them, you know, with players of the same calibre, really. So massive expectation at football club. You know, it's one that's incredibly well supported, and particularly after the last, you know, season or two where that expectation is to be up there, you know, in the top three, certainly, you know, looking at automatic promotion. And at the moment, they just find it a little bit too difficult to deal with that expectation, I think. But again, I think, you know, they've got a manager who knows very much what he's doing, you know, a way of doing things. And I think as time goes on, you know, I'd certainly expect them to start turning things around and moving up the table.
Yeah, Keith, looking at the manager, looking at the statistics as well for Portsmouth, faced fewer shots than any other team in the division so far. Does that really show that Kenny Jackett is the man who's worth sticking with? You know, his experience being vital as well, of course.
Yeah, it shows the way the team's set up, Ben. You know, he's very good at setting up a team to be very difficult to break down. We've seen that down through the years, whether it's been his Millwall teams or his Wolves side that got promoted. And none more so, I would suggest, than last year in terms of how dogged, how resilient they were. And I think it's the exploits of last year and that turnover of players, some key players, which unfortunately, that's part and parcel of it. You know, you go so far last year, the Checkatrade final, did really well, battling all the way for automatic promotion, doesn't quite happen. And that's the one for me. When you're in an automatic race for promotion and you dip into the playoffs, that's when I think the hangover can happen. But is he the right man to stick by it and turn it around? Absolutely is. He's a steady pair of hands. Just needs that little bit more time to get it going.
Yeah, certainly has a strong record in the division as well. Joby, now moving on to League Two, and we focus on Leighton Orient every time you've been on. So I think it's about time, you know, we change it up a little bit. We don't want to be accused of bias.
It's only right, then.
Exactly. Right. Newport facing league leaders Exeter City, of course. Orient went agonisingly close to becoming the first team to beat Exeter last weekend. But is a trip to Newport the biggest test for them so far this season?
Yeah, I'd say it'd be up there. Obviously, Newport have had a good start to the season. I think, you know, we went up there wanting to inflict that first defeat, and while you are unbeaten, you've always got that, I suppose, extra incentive, you know, if you're the opposing team to try and take that, you know, first loss. And I think going away from home as well will be, you know, a tough test. Obviously, Newport have done really well there, and I think it'll be a pretty stern test. But I mean, despite coming close to beating them, I was very impressed with Exeter. You know, very well organised. And the manager there has done a really good job rebuilding, really, you know, after, you know, Tisdale's left. It's, you know, a real hard act to follow, you know, just the type of football we played, but also, you know, the length of time he was there. So, you know, I think for them to have started as well as they've done and as I say, had to rebuild and change their way of playing a little bit. You know, he's done a fantastic job. And, you know, for me, it'll be a real interesting afternoon. And I think it'll be a good indicator of how well they're going to do this year, you know, that result on the weekend.
Yeah, Keith, for Newport, who themselves are obviously a very good team in League Two, of course, but when you play against the league leaders at home, as a player, can that give you that extra motivation to perform, do you believe?
Yeah, it absolutely can. And this team, of course, and this manager have proved on numerous occasions, when you think about the cup exploits they've had over the last couple of years, that they are capable of rising to the challenge. And this challenge won't be anywhere near what they faced in terms of those cup competitions. I think it's a tough place to go. I've only been there a couple of times myself. I have to say I didn't relish it. Didn't like the environment. I think the way they make it play and the way that Michael Flynn has the team set up, you're always in a game. And I think the home form has been very, very impressive. Just conceded 4 in the last 16 at home. So that just shows you what type of test that Exeter are going to face on Saturday.
Yeah, Joby, do you think we may have seen a similar thing with Michael Flynn, though, since that interest from Lincoln, they appear to have slipped up a little bit in drawing at Macclesfield midweek and losing at Northampton. Do you think that's been a bit of a distraction for him?
I think it can be. I think where it's been so public, you know, he's come out on record as saying that he actually has gone as far as speaking to them. And I think it can just take that little bit of focus away from training. Some of the lads can start speculating about, you know, what might happen. And it only takes a slight lapse to really have an impact on a result or a performance. So I think it's been really important that he's come out and pledged his future to the club. He's done a great job there and, you know, seems to have a good thing going. I think sometimes you just get good fits, you know, whether it's, you know, the manager and clubs, and I think that's certainly one there. So I think he's done a really good job there. And I'm glad he's decided to publicly state he's going to stay at least for the short term, because it gives everyone the chance to just settle down now and crack on.
Yeah, certainly done a cracking job there, hasn't he? Yeah, and should be a cracking game as well, that one. Guys, thanks for coming on, and both of you have a great weekend.
Pleasure. Take care.
The official EFL podcast, the best reaction to all the match action, available every week.